The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. However you are taking us in, we are very grateful. Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Did I say our names? Gil? Kelly? Did I say our names?
Hey, that's us.
That's us.
He's Gil. I'm Kelly.
Yeah. We get tweets, meetings, and book. Circa. Y'all are the heart and soul of the show. The numbers, guys, is very upset with my Earth, Wind, and Fire take. Keeps coming back to me. He said, who's better? Indeed, as a matter of fact, who's best, he says. Quadrophenia? Tommy? Do yourself a favor, he says. When you get home and spend the next 8 minutes and 41 seconds listening to a quick one while he's away from live at Leeds, life-changing. The numbers, guys, if that is your real name, let me just say this. I'm going to purchase you a box of Q-tips for your birthday and buy you all Earth, Wind, and Fire albums. I am not going to sit here and defend Earth, Wind, and Fire. If you can't hear it, that is a you problem. Brendan. By the way, no relation to Brendan Sorsby, but his name is Brendan.
Still reading an article on that, so yeah, good clarification.
He says, dude, Sorsby needs rehab for $50 bets and anxiety. Check us all in, I guess. Such a joke. Yeah. Jim Del Torio. Hey, Jake, love your hits on a numbers game. I feel like the Vegas goaltender can't handle the third period stress. What are your thoughts? He can't function and turns into a sieve for long stretches of that period. After playing fine in the first and second.
He's not doing a good job of standing on his head, Gil.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
We know that.
I have not heard that.
Haven't heard that this series.
Yeah, I haven't heard that this whole series. So they got to stand on their heads better.
Claiborne Taylor shouting out Sia Najat. He's like, I thought I heard your voice this morning on a numbers game. Good stuff, man. And then Steve the Proxy. Kelly mentioned he was surprised how little they showed Trump last night. I'd imagine that was because after he shut all of Manhattan down and pissed off an entire city, treated the game as his own personal red eye and was sleeping. Dolan had to wake him up. That's from Steve the Proxy. Winning streak. I did not pass the bar exam. However, what would happen if Patrick Mahomes came out and made a comment about this travesty of a ruling? Oh, that's it. That would absolutely change things as a Texas Tech alum. And Ryan Hyde, excellent segment detailing the Brendan Sorsby court ruling this morning on ANG. Tremendous analysis by Sia Najat, who passed the bar on the first try in two different states we hear. Great questions by Gil and Kelly. Hopefully this is posted soon on VSiN Live, as it's well worth a listen. More and more tweets, but we got to get to our next guest because he's the man for doing this each and every Tuesday. We appreciate it. He's got World Cup fever. He's got, what I want to ask him first, however, has to do with his vocation. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. He's whale_capper on Twitter. You can follow him there. He's also the co-host of both the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor, and NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher. Drew Dinsick joins us now. Drewski, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Long national nightmare is over. I won a bet last night.
There you go.
Yeah, had some Spurs, had some overhit. Neither of them felt good until they were finally home. I can't even really put into words how cold I've been running. Going on now 4 weeks-ish, 5 weeks-ish. Crazy stuff. Yeah. And you get into the cycle where you're chasing at some point, you know, and you're like, I know Andreeva is going to win the Women's French Open final. She's going to make quick work of Walenska. Here's a way we can get back some of our stack real quick. We'll just lay 7.5 games. She wins by 7. You know, like that type of stuff, like consistently happening to me at the death.
Yeah.
Of the tournament. So it was not a great French Open. It was not a good NBA playoffs until, you know, finally hitting a couple last night. And I got World Cup fever, but I'm still like the second sight is not great right now. I'm a little on the blind side as far as like kind of really seeing things clearly. But that said, it's the betting menu for the World Cup is so spectacular.
Oh, wow.
I can't help myself but find my way into this thing.
Before we get to that, I have a few questions. One, I thought Walenska, actually going back to the French Open women's final, I thought Walenska just abandoned the way she had won all the matches before that. I thought like
she did.
At 3-2, she's all of a sudden she's hitting the ball flat. I'm like, no, what are you doing? You're 5-4, spin. Yeah. Lob, do what you were doing.
I was honestly expecting like a Anna Samova Wimbledon kind of thing.
Yeah. Bagel.
Where it's just like the actual, like finally being there in the moment, she was just going to completely, kind of Bambi leg it. But congratulations to her for winning 5 games. It would have been nice if she won 4.
Yeah. Sorry about that, man. Belmont. How'd you do at the Belmont?
Terrible. Terrible. Sorry, I was, again, so much right church, wrong pew. I can't even begin to tell you, man. Like, you know, huge favorites on the card, like Crude Velocity. I'm like, we got to go against this horse at price. I didn't go against him with Englishman because he beat Englishman so soundly at Churchill Downs. Englishman ran the best race of the day at the Belmont, if you watched, in the Met Mile. He was phenomenal. And then, yeah, Cherie DeVoe doubles it up with Golden Tempo in the Belmont in what was the most impressive run, I've seen this so far this year from a three-year-old. It was pretty common to have commentary about the Kentucky Derby that was Golden Tempo. You know, had the perfect, you know, the race broke perfectly for him to clean up a mess because he was the only deep closer in that field. And the other deep closer, Renegade, got into all kinds of trouble out of the gate. And the Belmont was like, well, here you go. Now here's a slow field. There won't be a pace meltdown. Now let's see if you can do it. And he did. He did it with style. I feel like if the race had been the normal Belmont, a mile and a half that they usually run, Golden Tempo would have won by margin. It felt like he was putting White Commandment at the end there. And I don't know. It was it's pretty spectacular that he took that step forward, and I think clearly proven himself to be the best. No one really was talking about it or was on him. And,
nobody was.
He made us all look foolish. Yeah. And you gotta say the fact that Cherie DeVoe, had the most impressive 2 3-year-olds running in the sprint in the Belmont, and is now like certified, the hottest trainer in the world in terms of, trainer to beat. It's cool for the sport. I mean, it's the fact that the old school is getting taken to task by the new school is fun. And I think DeVos probably right now, at least I would guess, has your likely winners in some of the biggest races this fall, and could take down two Breeders' Cup Classic, Breeders' Cup Sprint, basically everything's on the table right now with those two horses, with how outstanding they looked on Saturday.
You know what's not cool for the sport, Drew? That Golden Tempo didn't run in the Preakness. That's what's not cool.
Yeah.
That's what's not cool.
Golden Tempo could have won the Preakness running backwards, man. It would have been tough.
Yeah. okay.
I would pay to see that.
World Cup is on deck. I promise you, World Cup is going. One last thing. Do you have any plays in NBA Finals game number 4?
I think the Spurs level it, but my goodness gracious, that was painful last night. They had such a huge advantage in the free throws, such a clean game without turning the ball over, and yet it was still like perilously in the balance late.
So many chances to blow it open.
So hard. Ugh. So many chances, and they let them hang around, and it was painful till the death. I think my numbers said Spurs should have been small favorites in game 3. My numbers say Spurs should be small favorites in game 4. My numbers say the total is 3 points too low still. It's really just going to be a test of will. Keep going back to the well here on the same numbers, or, just kind of, sit back and enjoy the game. I will say, I don't think that there's any type of smash grab getaway pricing in any of this stuff. It's all feels pretty close, pretty small margins. My series price says bet the Spurs. I think this should be like a 55-45 type of series, not tilted as severely in advantage of the Knicks as the market is for just series winner. I think the Wemby represents 100% of the MVP equity for the Spurs. That's not really a controversial take. He's a decent proxy for Spurs winning the series if you want to get a slightly better price. And then I think the Knicks MVP discussion is maybe a little bit more interesting because it certainly feels like they're itching to not give it to Brunson, which is kind of surprising. Like, I kind of assumed that him just compiling the most points was going to be enough to run away with this thing. But,
25 shots, kind of, Drew, last night, 32 points on 25.
I know
shots.
It's not efficient, but I just didn't clock that the MVP voters cared that much about efficiency. Like, I thought it was just like the idea that he was as outstanding as he is in the clutch, I thought was just going to get him across the line here, but
you might be right.
It was surprising, but like the straw poll after game 2 was 5-0 Cat. That was a little surprising. I think the door is actually open for OG Anunoby to steal this at 40-1.
That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, there's I guess the most interesting thing to happen could happen in terms of a bomb of a price hitting in anything NBA at this point is Spurs level at 2-2. And then OG Anunoby steals game five with like a phenomenal offensive performance while locking up Wemby defensively. And then like the entire story at that point is like, wow, oh my God, OG Anunoby like took his game to another level, stopped the best player in the world. And here the Knicks are with a chance to win on their home court. And, you know, he at that point, like he just needs to, you know, not pee himself on the court and he wins if they win game six. So you know, I think OG at 40-1 is probably the, you know, to me at least looks like a potential jailbreak.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. We, you know, we only touched on it lightly before, Gil, but it's you know, Cat Brunson. Okay, OG Anunoby is going to be a part of the conversation with the Wemby defending Wemby, but then Drew, like, there's not the natural counterpart on San Antonio to guard OG. This is where these wings could matter so much for the Knicks. So I think there's a path there for sure.
One of the reasons that I'm not like exposed to Spurs right now, because you could have had some great prices on Spurs. Their defense does not match up well against what the Knicks are trying to do at all. Like, it's just, it's crazy, crazy, crazy how efficient the Knicks offense has been against, you know, what on paper was, you know, such a phenomenal defense all season. It's just the pieces aren't quite right. And yeah, Brunson and OG getting theirs and making this, you know, fun is where we're going.
Drew on the World Cup next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Listen, Knicks fans, I just want to tell you that the Washington Bullets have won a championship more recently than you have. Oh, I'm sorry, we're on air? Championship season is here, and VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, we will release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I was thinking about your question yesterday, because when the Knicks were up 2-0, you're like, oh, if the Knicks win this, is Jalen Brunson the worst best player to ever win an NBA Finals? Yeah. Worst best player on a team? I would say Cat is the best player, but okay, you get the idea. I thought about it last night as I was going home. It's the 1979 Seattle Supersonics, where Gus Williams was their best player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought there was a cutoff point once we got into those 2000s.
But that's the answer. So Jack Sikma, it was a young Dennis Johnson. He wasn't even with the Celtics yet. It was definitely that team. That team had no superstar.
Yeah, but you don't think there was anybody since then?
That worse?
Like, I would best player? Like those Pistons teams, I would classify.
They had Isaiah.
No. The 2004. Yes,
the 2004.
Yeah, like, I think Jalen Brunson's better player than those guys. And then the 2014 Spurs we talked about.
They still had Rashid and Ben. And I mean,
they had a lot of really good players.
They had Rip Hamill. I mean, they had a lot of really good players.
They did.
I don't know. Okay. It's a fun debate. That's for sure.
You know, the Spurs, go back to that 2014 Spurs team, right? Kawhi, Boris Diaw making a run. JVT threw that one in yesterday.
Boris Diaw. Drew Denson, kind enough to join us for a second segment. We want to talk some World Cup. Before we do, I promise to ask this. You are a seismologist, Drew Densig, by the way, at @whale_capper.
Ooh, lawyers and scientists.
We've had attorneys on this show. Now we have a seismologist. We had an earthquake here in Vegas last week. I don't know if you're aware of this. It was a mild one by our California standards, Drew. It was a low 4. I think it was like 4.1 or 4.3 or something like that. Are you aware of that? And what plates are we dealing with here that we had an earthquake?
Well, Nevada sits in the basin and range, sure. Which is technically not part of the plate boundary. You're in the North American plate, but the volcanism of the hot spot in Yellowstone combined with the subduction of the Juan de Fuca plate, under the North American plate has caused a very complex structural system. And it's the basin and range now. And it's basically the issue is if you want to think of it visually, it is a very, very slow spreading center. So the rocks are like generally kind of falling down and realigning themselves within the earth crust from like 0 to about 15 kilometers deep. And so you have a lot of normal faulting earthquakes that tend to be in the 4 to 6 range and that are inconsequential from a seismic structural engineering performance standpoint.
Volcanism, ladies and gentlemen.
I was just going to say that.
Drew, you are our guy. When we do our prediction market earthquake segments, betting on earthquakes, you're my guy. Okay? We established that right now. You're our expert. Okay. Drew Dinsick. All right, yeah. World Cup, the floor is yours. Why do you love this so much?
I mean, it's an international event like the Olympics, anything that's periodic like this that comes around once every 4 years and has, this much, kind of worldwide fanfare, I'm a sucker for it. Just the general, matchups between these, teams with 500 years of bad blood, like sign me up any day of the week for this type of a setting. I will say, however, shame on FIFA. Yes, we are getting more games at this World Cup with the 48 team field.
Oh, it's so bad.
But they ruined the perfect format.
They sure did.
The 8-group, 4-team, 32-team format where the top two advance was perfect. The fact that they expanded it to 48 and they've put all these teams that are just literally there for the experience, like congrats, this is a, the expansion was poorly conceived and will be poor. They've turned the group stage with the third place, eight of the 12 third place teams advance into the knockout round. That means the knockout round starts with 32 teams. That was the old entire World Cup format was 32 teams. self-inflicted wound here, they've turned the group stage into the preseason. Like, this is all exhibition stuff. Like, even if you're like, if you're a very serious team with the designs of winning the World Cup, you realistically need to win one game out of these three against teams that are ranked, top, 40 to 80 in the world. Like, you just win one game, you're through effectively. If you win one and draw one, you're like 98% through. The advantages you used to have of kind of preferential placement in the knockout draw with the winning your group are kind of gone. The kind of slotting in the knockout draw is a little bit chaotic. It's taken the fun out of trying to really predict imbalance in the draw and handicap the futures market completely out of the picture, because that was my favorite part of this sort of thing, right? You could absolutely kind of construct like, okay, well, this is the group of death. Like, this, if anyone gets kind of chaotic seeding, it's going to come from here and they're going to land there, there, and there. And that could ultimately have a completely overweight top half compared to the bottom half. And therefore, like, oh my gosh, look at this quarter of the draw. There's one team that's going to be up against, absolute nobodies until they get to the semifinals. Like, let's grab a future on them. Like, all of that kind of fun has pretty much, kind of poof gone out of the process now with this stupid 32 team draw. More bigger gaps between games. The game scheduling is just an absolute mess in terms of what time they're on.
Oh, no.
Like, all of the stuff I used to really, really, just delight me about the World Cup has been, kind of thrown out the window for this year's, running. And honestly, I'm going to get over it as soon as they start kicking the ball around. First match, I'm going to be in and watch as much of it as possible over this next 2 months effectively. But I think they made a phenomenal mistake going from afford. Well, they didn't make a mistake. They're going to make more money, I guess, right? So they're probably going to have, there's going to be C-suite patting on the back out of this.
Yeah,
but in terms of the fan experience, they have really stuck their finger in the eye of the fan.
You. I think that is a universal take on the format. Only 16 sides eliminated in the entire group stage out of 48 teams. What are your favorite bets in all of this?
Well, going back to my favorite way to handicap, which is just literally kind of constructing the likely outcome of draws and seeing if we can find imbalance. There are a couple of things to note. France, who is your co-favorite right now with Spain, they're in a little bit of a difficult group. They may ultimately find themselves in a weird part of the draw, but if they just win their group, which they should because they're phenomenally more talented than anyone else in their group, then they end up with potentially a second round, round of 16 matchup against the likes of Germany. That is awfully early to be playing a team of that quality, and that would be a fun round of 16 match. They draw Spain in the quarterfinals. The idea that France and Spain likely end up on the same half of the draw and that they're co-favorites at this price point, I take huge exception with. And so right away with France potentially running into trouble early in the draw, in the knockout draw, and then Spain being on the same side, I'm immediately looking for someone on the bottom. England has a very good team, but also got a really difficult potential path. There's a world where they're traveling all over creation, and there's a world where they're playing in Mexico City against Mexico in the round of 16, which is a very difficult place to play. And then they turn around and they potentially go and play Brazil in Miami in the month of July, which I can only imagine is not going to feel great for the lads from England. There's a bet against opportunity on England considering their potential path, which breaks open, if not them, who on the bottom that's not England. Choose your fighter really between Brazil and Argentina. There are reasons to knock both of those teams, and there's real good reasons why they're fourth and fifth, just in terms of quality of the players. For me, it's Argentina, not just because they're a slightly better price, but because I think they have a couple of young players that people don't really realize have taken humongous leaps forward in club play this year. I don't know 100% that we're going to get full health out of a player like Nico Paz, and that's not a household name at all. But, he's exactly the type of player to back up a guy, an old dog like Lionel Messi that can, take Argentina far in this tournament. So I think Argentina is the team to beat on the bottom. I think they get the benefit of a preferential draw with France and Spain on the top. And I think Spain is considerably better than France. France may not even get to the semifinals, but my call for the final is Spain versus Argentina. I like Argentina a hair better in that head-to-head, and I think Argentina ships.
There it is. Argentina ships. You kids out there know what that means.
They lift the trophy. Excuse me. They lift the trophy.
That's right.
Argentina to lift the trophy.
Deeper dive on the deep dive for the World Cup for you and Andy.
Yeah, it was mostly, we talked to Anthony DeBundo, okay, the Ringer, and got a lot of good info from him because he is more plugged in than we are.
Beautiful. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Best of luck, guys.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Say there, Kelly Bidley. You know who has unmatched transparency with records updated daily?
Who's that?
The Sharp Plays. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros.
Where can I find them?
Sharpplays.com. You can ask where you can scan them? On the QR code on the screen as well. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidley. We get tweets beating the book. A lot of praise for Sia Najad and his appearance earlier on the show.
Yeah, he was okay. He should become a lawyer in a third state.
Betting Man Todd says the NCAA lawyers had circles run around them. When you have a mental health case, wouldn't you want to have your own specialist do an analysis on the subject? Level one gambling therapist deemed him to have a gambling addiction. NCAA didn't send anyone. Such a good point. So true. Malpractice. Nevada A's are LOL. Zach Taylor and the Bengals. Oh, pardon me. Not praise for CEO on this one. He said, LOL, Zach Taylor and the Bengals are not getting to the Super Bowl. Yes, the offense will be great, but you still need a competent head coach. Jonathan Doe. Kelly gave me permission to read this one. I use closed caption assisted by AI. It's nearly perfect, even punctuation. But when Kelly is talking, it's long strings of gibberish, repeating partial words, unintelligible hesitations, and practically no punctuation. Is it my CC or him or what? So frustrating.
You know what?
Come on, Kelly.
I'm going to hope a combination of both to answer your question. But nobody's ever called me a polished on-air voice before.
Kelly Bidlin. Long strings of gibberish, repeating partial words and unintelligible hesitations and practically no punctuation.
Hey, as long as closed captioning's upgraded me from Kelly Bin Laden, then we're making progress. Yeah,
we've made a step in the right direction.
We're making progress.
No Emu Doug, thanks for the Texas Tech discussion. Mainstream media seems unfazed or uninterested in a story I felt was massive precedent against the NCAA. Thanks for clarity on the stupid ruling.
I thought that was a bit of an odd tweet because I thought it was all over, like ESPN, like all afternoon yesterday.
Yeah, they were covering it pretty good. But I just...
It needed some clarity, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
See, it helped with that big time.
Tim Bowers is a great tweet. He says, you wouldn't know the Knicks are up 2-1 based on clips of how their fans are treating opposing fans. Is it possible Knicks fans are worse than Eagles fans? Tim, I have had that thought. B. Earl Nelson, Washington Bullets. I just laughed out loud listening to my car by myself. Terry Lash, you're welcome. Terry Lash, anyone sources know who Brendan Sorsby has wagered on to win the Big 12 this season? Is he going to win? Is he going with Texas Tech again?
And there's some quality jokes there. Dustin had a good one. As soon as it broke yesterday, I meant to read it on the air a couple times. As soon as it broke yesterday, just a retweet from Dustin. And did he buy the dip on his Heisman price?
And the 3_cone, the Spurs don't often run the throw it 10 feet in the air, Wemby will probably catch it play. It's very true. It's very true.
It was more last night, right?
There was.
I think it was 3-for-4 on lobs last night, 1-for-3 in the first two games.
Stocks of baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. He is Base Winner, basewinner.com, at Base Winner on Twitter. And, of course, the BetUS Baseball Show is where you can find him multiple times a week. Mark, good morning. Oh, did we lose Mark? We lost Mark.
Frozen in
contemplation. There you go. Now you're back. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Gil. This is there's some interesting things developing on the baseball run line, which is a market that I've usually never played. But nowadays, I think I probably need to investigate it a little bit more.
Explain,
Gil,
to us, would you, sir? What do you mean?
Okay, so normally, and you can concur with me, you pay a little bit of extra juice for the most part on the run line, and usually playing the run line's harder to do. In fact, if you look at the season, now this is from Carl at Killer Sports, who they just do such a good job over there. Can't give him enough props every time I go over this, but from 2022 to 2025, and this is, I think, a good data set to use. It's where the humidors are all introduced into the ballpark, so I think you get a pretty decent sample here. And so this is 4 years of data. And if you bet just the away, I'm just going to concentrate on away favorites. Same with favorites as well. If you just bet on away favorites on the money line, you would be down about 4.5%. Well, if you bet on the run line, you'd be down about 8.1%. So you think, well, I probably shouldn't look at this run line because it's going to be a harder thing to win long term. But here in 2026, it's very interesting. You've got 350 games where the away favorite has played. And if you bet them straight up, you'd be down about the same on the money line, 4.5%. But on the run line, if you blanket bet the away favorite, you would be up 1.3%. And it's 350 games, and maybe there's some sample issues, but I think it's the way these teams are approaching the game. And I think it falls into my particular handicapping model where I look at, especially away favorite, normally away favorite will have like a top-end bullpen setup. And that's kind of how I handicap it. So I think it's worth investigating to play more run lines. In fact, I think the first run line I've played all year, maybe in the last 4 years, was yesterday, Philly on the run line. And so I'm going to start playing it because I think that there's something there, Gil.
Are you following that up with something today, as a matter of fact?
Gil, as a matter of fact, that's what a pro lead in there that is. I like the Braves. -1.5, +103 today. One of the things that goes into my numbers are the bullpens, and they're playing the White Sox 20th bullpen. Braves' fourth best bullpen. And then I'm not convinced on this White Sox team, particularly with Murakami out of the lineup. I've got them 29th out of 30 teams, and I got the Braves number two. And then I'm not a huge fan of Holmes. I've got him just actually a little bit below average, 6% below average. But Fetty's 143rd out of 148 pitchers for me. So you throw all that in the mixer, I've got really good value on the money line. But you know what? I'm going to play the run line today on that particular game, Gil.
Okay, so to clarify, this is a Cubs-Braves run line parlay. Is that what we're doing here?
Well, I'm playing the Braves straight.
Oh, okay.
That's actually the best play. But the parlay, I don't think I can live my life without playing a base winner parlay, Gil. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go Braves -1.5 and Cubs -1.5. And I'm going to risk one, and if that thing hits, it's going to pay about 3-1, Gil, plus 299 on that.
Okay, so we're doing Atlanta run line straight, and
right.
We're doing a Cubs-Braves run line parlay as well. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. By the way, the Carl that Mark is referring to at Killer Sports, our buddy Carl Sack, the proprietor
of
KillerSports.com. Yes. You also have a total play today as well, yes?
Yeah, we talk about this on the quarter shows about the umpires and how they affect the game. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it for years, Gil. And I thought this year, well, they're not going to affect the game as much as they have in the past. And I don't know if you've watched any baseball. They're affecting the game, Gil. So, you know,
yeah.
These guys, and I think it's because it's of the two challenges, it's hard to challenge these borderline pitches. So I don't know about you, but like I've been watching games where the pitch is outside. You can see it on the box or low, wherever it is, outside of the strike zone. And the guys will not, they will not tap the head, if you will. They will not appeal it. So I think that, I don't know, it's a blessing or a curse if you have good umpire ratings. The curse is you got to incorporate them on a daily basis. So it gives you one more step to do. The blessing is that if you can do it right, you get a little bit of an advantage in the market. I think that's what's going on today in Baltimore. We have Doug Eddings, who's the second most pitcher-friendly umpire by my ratings.
We love and, Doug Eddings. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Doug Eddings. Not to be confused with Brian McKnight, our favorite guy.
That's right.
But I've got 6.8 runs projected. And if you look at the pitchers here, Rodgers has kind of been up and down this year, kind of more down than up. But if you look at his stuff plus, it's in the 74th percentile. His total bases per plate appearances, probably the lowest on the board. In fact, it is the lowest on the board today. And then Gilbert's numbers are really good too. Pitching plus 88th percentile. And then the BBK is the third lowest on the board today. So I think that there's some underlying numbers that would support that under as well, other than the umpire. But, you know, I think the bottom line is you think, well, they're going to do the ABS. The umpire is not going to have that much of an effect on a game. And they sure as hell have, Gil. That Stu Sherwater umpiring the Dodgers Diamondbacks, I think it was last Wednesday night, kept calling balls low. And mm-hmm. So they kept challenging it and they kept winning and it extended the game. So interesting going on. What's going on with this ABS?
I got to tell you, I love every minute of it, every second of ABS. I think it's such a great add-on to the game because it goes quickly and everybody wants it to be right in the end as much as possible. So I mean, you and I have probably won and lost thousands of baseball bets based on high leveraged missed calls in baseball games. So glad to see it. Last thing before you go here, 30 seconds. Here in Las Vegas, we're buzzing about this Brewers Athletics game last night. 15-14 Brewers with with 11 homers, some of which were just gargantuan shots. You're a numbers guy. Do you read in? Do you jump on something like this, or do you hold back and hesitate? How does your betting numerical mind go with this?
Yeah, I just need a sample before, but because you're so anxious to jump on that. It looked like Home Run Derby last night. I really did.
Oh,
and but I just, the way I handicap, I got to have a sample. I don't have enough.
That's what I thought your answer would be, but I thought I would ask. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it as always.
You know, my pleasure.
Mark Borchardt, best in the business. Basewinner.com, at Basewinner on Twitter. That's where you can find out about his BetUS show. Let's look at some NFL quarterback starts week one next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than just a producer. Kelly, Jonathan Doe was poking fun at the closed caption on you, the last segment, and he has followed up, and this is why we love you. He says, a follow-up for Kelly from last segment. He responded perfectly and exactly how I would have guessed. 2 years ago, I messaged him. I had a small criticism, and he was so nice, genuine, and appreciative. Thanks, Kelly.
Well, thank you, there Jonathan Doe. Appreciate you for listening.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody. It's why we adore him.
Class act. What can I say?
Okay.
Maybe. Overall, great guy.
Maybe you didn't have to, say that part, but... Chance Copperpot. Gil, I encourage you to discuss the 78-79 Seattle Supersonics at any time for any reason. The Lenny Wilkins-led Supers Soups handed the city of Seattle our first title since the 1917 Metropolitans won Lord Stanley. Sikma was my favorite. Jack Sikma he's talking about. Hashtag bring back our Sonics. Oh, you'll get your Sonics back. I'm old enough to tell you that I was a little boy. I attended those two championship series. The 78 Bullets championship nice. Run and the 79 Sonics win over the Bullets.
You know what I'm a little surprised by, Gil? Sorry.
I was just gonna
How were they? Were they great? What did you have to eat?
I was just going to... I don't know what I had to eat. I could just tell you that we made the fatal mistake of taking my mom to one of those games. And when the Bullets were warming up on one side of the court and the Sonics were on the other side. Did I tell the story before? Probably. I was like...
I don't remember.
I was like a little kid. And my mom goes very loudly so the whole section could kind of hear. She goes... which side are the Redskins on? And if I could have had a trap door to my death, I would have opted for it at that moment.
Hey, what was your go-to arena or stadium food as a kid? To a game, was there something you always had to get?
Skins games.
Or like, is there anything your dad always had to get?
No, Skins games, me and my buddy Tommy always got kraut dogs.
Oh, okay.
We would meet at a stand midway through our seats at RFK. And we'd have these kraut dogs, we call them.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I've got a weird answer to this question.
You're asking for a reason.
No. Yeah. Sort of. You must have. No, some. I always find it fascinating because I don't necessarily have a go-to. I always try to find whatever I think is the most interesting in that arena or that stadium that I'm at. But the solid fallback, always a solid fallback is chicken tenders. I feel like I ate more chicken tenders at stadiums than like anywhere else.
The appetite of an 8-year-old child.
That's right.
At Oracle.
They don't screw up chicken tenders, though. You can go to a stadium and you get a burger and you'd be like, great, I paid $18 for a burnt piece of crap burger.
I'm going to tell you what my jam is as an adult, though. Oracle Park, formerly SBC, formerly Pac Bell Park. Right field, Sheboygan's. The Sheboygan's elsewhere, but the one I go to is in the right field concourse. Oh, my God. So good.
What is it?
It's like a bratwurst kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Something like that. Oh, yes.
Give me 10 of them.
I was hoping that was going to lead to something about sourdough bread that I could rip on.
No. I know not to give you that opening. Jesse Welch. Of course, Texas Tech is letting Sorsby on the field. They paid him millions to go there. I'm guessing he'd be getting that money either way since those deals are so shady. Yeah, that was the... that's why I thought Kelly was adorable in that when you started down that line. I was like, they're totally playing him.
I mean, like, it's money in your team this year for how it affects everything down the line.
You think these teams care?
I mean, like, yeah, no, I think they do because it's all about money, right? If we all want to play the game, it's all about money. You're affecting future money, right? It could be bad PR moves that maybe take companies that are giving you or people that are giving you money take a hit PR-wise, have to take their money out now of the NIL funds.
Everything you're saying is lovely and logical, but they think they could win the they think they could win the title.
By the way, like that's the one thing. Just like, what do I really not know? I don't know how good of a team they actually have. Yeah. I will accept that argument over everything. If they really think they can win a national championship, then none of the rest of it matters.
You know how these schools are. And their alumni. Evan Klein, don't know if you touched on it, but there was like 14 successful challenges last night in the Brewers-A's game. Oh, and there were consecutive in some cases. And then Warrior013, Matt, couldn't wait to tweet you about this. I play home run parlays every single day, usually 3 to 4 players. $5 gets me $800 to $2,500. I hit about one a month. Last night was a lottery hit. If you played 2+ homers on a player, DraftKings usually caps it. I had no one in the game last night. That was a long way to go to get to that. And nobody. Well,
Foster, work us up something for tonight. Come on, man.
And JC.
He's just back there training on audio today. You ain't even running audio.
And JC, what's up with Kelly's hate for sourdough? It's the best bread.
Well, that was a quick reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a sourdough guy. Tastes like milk's gone bad and you put it in bread.
Oh, God. All right. Never too early to talk National Football League. We check in on this, I'd say, once every few weeks or once every month at this time of year. Odds for NFL starting quarterbacks week number one. This is going to be very similar to...
That's exactly what sourdough bread tastes like. Sorry, I just nailed it. Just nailed the description.
What was your description?
It's like milk's gone bad and we just like put it in bread.
Terrible description. These six teams, who's going to start at quarterback week number one? In other words, who's taking the first snap? If it's a direct snap to a running back, we're all out of luck. But
God, I'm so glad you bring that up as often as you do. Never forget that.
Never forget that.
When you go to bet this, never forget that.
I think Ronnie Brown of the Dolphins once took an opening snap for the Dolphins 1 year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
This is going to be exactly, my opinion is going to be exactly what it was a few weeks ago, except now it's worse prices because the two that I recommended were good back then.
Yeah.
But let's just do these one by one. The Arizona Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett, he's back in the fold now. They settled their whole thing. -295 to take the first snap of the season for the Arizona Cardinals. Gardner Minshew and Carson Beck are big dogs in this.
So Brissett reported to minicamp, but that I think that is not completely finished yet. Dude's still getting paid. This is one of those where like he's getting paid less than Gardner Minshew, who you just signed. Like there might be an issue there.
Someone had a great comment when I wish I could remember who. I apologize. When the Rams traded for Myles Garrett, they said, think about the difference in NFC West teams. One of them just got Myles Garrett and is a favorite to win the Super Bowl. The other is having a contract dispute with Jacoby Brissett.
It's like, great line. Yeah. Great line. Awesome. It puts things in perspective. But what I read that line yesterday. Because, yeah, it is. ESPN had a report yesterday. Brissett will report for Arizona's mandatory minicamp this week after holding out all offseason. While he awaits a reworked contract for this season. Yeah. And you go down further, he's getting paid less than Gardner Minshew. Yeah. So I get it.
I get it, but I don't like I didn't have a bet 3 weeks ago when we did this. I don't have a bet on this now.
I mean, it's going to be Brissett if he's there.
Yeah, because I don't have an opinion on whether he's going to be there or not. It's these next two teams where I had a bet, and now the prices are worse on these.
Yeah.
The Falcons, I said Tua, right? Tua is now -180 to take the first snap for the Atlanta Falcons this year. Michael Penix Jr., who's recovering from, you know, the knee surgery, is +142. Trevor Siemian, a very long shot at 80-1. And I said at the time, I was like, listen, there's no rush to bring Penix Jr. back. Even if he's ahead of the pace on his recovery, why rush it? You signed Tua for a reason. It's got to be Tua. I'd still bet Tua at -180, not as good of a price as it was when we first did this. And the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson's -196. Shedeur Sanders is +158. Then Dylan Gabriel and Talon Green, Kelly.
What's a Talon Green? Stop making up stuff, Danny.
Danny's just
was your old teammate.
Just making up names. I said Deshaun Watson had a better price a few weeks back. I'd still bet him at -196. And again, the only reason for that is you've got this massive contract with him. Yeah. You still just want to see it through, right? Mm-hmm. And just the off chance he becomes peak Deshaun, you're going to start him. So those, I mean, I still stick by Tua with the Falcons and Deshaun Watson for the Browns, barring injury, of course. The other three, I think these are all correct. Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is a massive -1,000 favorite over Justin Fields and any other quarterback. Mahomes, by all accounts, ahead of schedule. So he'll start game one if he is, in fact, ahead of schedule. Raiders have Kirk Cousins at -310 over Fernando Mendoza, the number one pick in the draft, at +230. I think you signed Cousins for a reason to start him in the first place, right? Why rush Mendoza? He'll start at some point this year. And then the Vikings, I think, is correctly priced where Kyler Murray is -1,000 over J.J. McCarthy, who's 6-1, and Carson Wentz, a long shot at 70-1. So I do think Tua and Deshaun are bets. Is there a bet for you in any of these besides those two?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for chewing up a couple minutes there. I wanted to pull up an article saw yesterday from the Falcons. This is, okay, first of all, do we remember what this Kyler Murray number was the last time we looked at it?
I do not.
Like, it still feels like a This might be a Kelly Vikings and Kyler Murray problem, but minus 1,000 still feels like it's missing about three zeros.
Yeah.
Like, McCarthy was a mess. You brought in Murray for a reason. Okay, so Penix not participating in any team drills yet. And this is from the quarterback's coach for the Falcons, Alex Van Pelt. These quotes, tough to have a competition when both guys aren't competing at the same level right now. And basically he goes on to say that we can't even think about a competition beginning until Michael Penix Jr. is back. So like, I'm reading in between lines here, but this is Tua and don't even check in for a while.
Also, let's say he was back and let's say it was a 50-50 choice. It's much easier to go from the veteran back to Penix Jr. than it is to start Penix Jr. and then have to bench him at some
100%
point.
100% agree. Great point. And yes, I think Watson's bet at that number still.
Joe Sheehan and more NBA Finals talk as well. Coming up on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.